'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
This morning I would like to attempt to bring a message on this subject, things that cannot be shaken. I'm going to read a verse of scripture from Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth. Now that is talking about when God came down and gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai. Let me read this passage of scripture to you. This is what he's referring to in Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, speaking of Mount Sinai, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord, Jehovah, descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And these people were feeling the tremor of that earthquake as they heard these noises and saw the smoke. Now that's what the writer to the Hebrews is speaking of. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, what we just read about. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that are created, that have a temporal existence, things you can see, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now this great shaking that we just read of will be the cause of the removal of all things that can be shaken, of all things that have instability, of things that are not nailed down, as it were, which covers everything we see. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Things that cannot be shaken. Perhaps you've heard this before. A poet said, only one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ shall last. Now, on one level, I would agree with what this man says. There's a sense in which I can see this in terms of what is truly important. You've probably heard of the Nobel Prizes. Every year, the people who have conferred the greatest benefit on mankind are given what is called the Nobel Prize. There's the Nobel Prize for chemistry, medicine, literature, physics, and peace. And what an honor to get a Nobel Prize. But do you know these prizes are nothing in comparison to that unnamed woman who broke the alabaster box of ointment to anoint the Lord before his burying. These works are nothing in comparison to those works of which the Lord said, "Inasmuch as you've done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me." These works are nothing in comparison to the works spoken of those of whom it is said, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, they shall have rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." These Nobel Prizes are nothing compared with a cold cup of water given to a disciple for Christ's sake. These works are nothing with comparison to the works of faith and the labor of love Paul spoke of. But let's think of this statement again, this phrase. Only one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ shall last. How do I feel about what I have done for Christ? Do I think that that would stand before God in judgment? Do I think that there's merit in anything that I've done that God could accept? This sermon, there's enough sin in this sermon I'm preaching to send me to an eternal hell. Somebody says, "You're being harsh." No, I'm not. I'm being factual. That is the fact of the matter. It's not what I do for Christ that will last. Anything I do, it can be shaken. You get a good shaking, there will be rotten things come out of it. It's only what Christ has done for me that shall last. Let me see if I can make good on that from the Scriptures. I got a question for you. Does the Bible teach that the righteousness of Jesus Christ, His work, His obedience, is the only ground of acceptance before God? Is that what the Bible teaches? Well, let me quote you a scripture, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, "Oh, that I," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "that also being inspired by the Holy Spirit when he said this, oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." When God comes looking for me, there's only one place I want to be found. I don't want to be found preaching or praying or reading the Scriptures or witnessing or feeding the poor. I want to be found in one place in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that all God sees when He looks upon me is His blessed Son. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Now look what he says next. Don't miss this. Not having my own righteousness. Now, Paul, why would you make a statement like that? You don't want to have your own righteousness. Paul would tell you, because I know what my righteousness is. I agree completely with Isaiah when he said, "Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." That's what I have to say about any personal righteousness that comes from me. It's nothing more than filthy rags. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The only righteousness that God will accept is His own righteousness as performed by the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin." God the Father made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame but wholly lean on Jesus' name. So, does the Bible teach that there's only one righteousness, the righteousness of Christ? That's the only ground of acceptance? Yes, it does. Now, here's my second question. Does the Bible allow us to look at any work that we have performed as sinless and able to stand before God in judgment? You take the best gift, the most generous gift you've ever given, the most pure motive you've ever had. Would that stand before God in judgment? Let me read you what John says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. He says, if we say that we have no sin. Now there the word sin is a noun, and it's talking about a sinful nature. At all times, I have this sinful nature that I was born with. It didn't go away when the Lord saved me. I still got it. So John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If I make the claim that I have no sin, I've lied to myself and I've made myself believe the lie. I've bit the hook. And I've lost all credibility. The truth is not in me. Now, in verse 10 of this same chapter, he makes this statement. If we say we've not sinned. Now there the word sinned is a verb with regard to anything that I do. I don't care if it's preaching this message. I don't care if it's reading the scriptures. I don't care if it's praying. I don't care if it's witnessing. I don't care if it's trying to not give in to temptation, whatever it might be. If I say there's no sin in that, God says there is. If we say we've not sinned with regard to anything that we do, we make him a liar because he says we have. And his word is not in us. Now the fact of the matter is, the only righteousness that God will accept is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, you and I don't have any righteousness. We've never done anything that God could accept. God's holy. God's perfect. He's altogether other. He can't accept anything short of perfection because of who he is. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, with regard to everything that goes on under the sun, everything done in time, the wise man says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Everything that takes place under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now that word vanity means a vapor that appears a little while and passes away. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything a man does is vanity. It's not stable. It's not something that can't be shaken. With regard to anything you and I do, if it's shaken, it'll be exposed to be sinful in and of itself. Now, there's nothing under the sun that's stable. Governments. Where's the kingdom of Babylon? Where's the kingdom of Rome? Where's the British Empire? Right now, it could be argued that the United States is the most powerful country in the world, and I'm thankful to live here. I love my country, but if time continues, it will fall and somebody else will take its place. There are no stable governments. What about the economy? Think of how unstable it is. Look at the stock markets going up and down. Unstable. Your stuff is unstable. Your personal possessions, my personal possessions, we can lose them all in a moment. Think of how unstable relationships are. How many people have been married and loved each other, and then through whatever takes place, they break their vows and they divorce and they say they no longer love one another, or one no longer loves another, and they don't want to be in that relationship anymore. How unstable. I mean, a good marriage If people are unbelievers and they have a good marriage, I've seen that. Well, it's not going to be stable. They're not going to love each other in hell. They'll hate each other in hell. And what about a good marriage between two people who are saved and will be in heaven? It won't continue because those relationships will be gone in heaven. Oh, you'll love each other, but you'll love each other like you love everybody else. Everybody loves everybody else the same. Christ is all in heaven. There's not these family units we have here on earth. What about our religious experience? What about what happened yesterday? I got to question anything that has my thumbprint on it. Let me quote this passage. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher from the 19th century, made this statement, and he says it better than I ever could. He said, "I have not the shadow of a shade, of a ghost, of a confidence as to my ultimate salvation, except in Jesus Christ alone." And one reason why I dare not have confidence except in Him is that I do not know anything I ever did or thought or ever was in which I could confide. So I'm driven to trust Him and in Him alone. I lie at the foot of His cross because I cannot stand upright. I must do that. Like Luther, I can do no other. If I search myself and my whole life over and over again, I cannot see anything but that I call a filthy rag and fling it away. Good works and bad works, so far as mine concerned, are not worth the trouble of sorting out. So I tie them all up in one bundle and pitch them overboard and just cling to the ever-blessed life buoy of the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. All that will last, all that can't be shaken, is what He has done. The Old Testament economy, it's not going to last. Scripture says God found fault with it because it did not save. Nothing lasts but what Christ has done. I think of what James said to every one of us. What is your life? It's even a vapor. That breath that comes out of your mouth on a cold morning and dissipates so quick. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and passes away. When it says all that goes under the sun is vanity and vexation of spirit, that is the truth. What cannot be shaken? Now, the writer to the Hebrews said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that's the judgment. You and I are going to stand before God in judgment. Deep down you know that. Somebody says, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, there was a time when you did. Men know, they're born knowing God is just, and He will reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Now, what will stand unshaken before God in judgment? Now, most people hope their good works will outweigh their bad. Others have some kind of vague hope that God will end up being merciful. And then there are many who hope in their religious experience. The Lord said, "Many shall say unto me in that day," talking about judgment day, "Lord, Lord, you know us. In your name we've cast out demons. We've preached in your name. In your name have we done many wonderful works." Notice the quantity of their wonderful works. Many, and the quality, wonderful. And what does the Lord say to them? "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Now these people will be amazed. They'll be astonished. They thought, if anybody gets to heaven, I will. And they'll find out that we're going to be thrust into hell, trusting their own works. Now, we know from the light of nature that God is eternal. Nobody made Him. He made all things, and no one made Him. Everything God does is eternal. God is not confined by space and time the way you and I are. Everything God does is eternal. I love the way the scripture calls the salvation of a believer eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life, everlasting life. Now, eternity, eternal life, everlasting life is a life that never had a beginning and will never have an end. Now somebody says, how can that be? I was born September 9th, 1959. How can you say I've got a life that never had a beginning and will never have an end? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says, both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified. That's Christ and every believer. He's the one who does the sanctifying. He sets them apart to be his. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, I don't understand this, but I believe it. I've always been united to Christ. I've always been one with Christ. There's never been a time in eternity when I was not one with Christ. Somebody says, explain that to me. I wouldn't dare try it, but I believe it. God is eternal. I can't explain the Trinity, but I believe it. I can't explain how God is one God in three distinct persons, but I believe it. Eternal life. Life that is eternal, that had no beginning and that will have no ending. Every believer, now listen to this. If I'm a believer, I'm justified. I'm not condemned. If I'm a believer, the righteousness of Christ is mine and I am justified by God. Now justified does not mean that I'm just as if I never sinned. No, if I'm justified, I've never sinned. In Christ, I've never sinned. Now somebody says, you've been talking about how sinful you are. Yes, I have. But in Christ, I am eternally justified. God said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. Under no situation, under no scenario will I ever clear somebody that's guilty. If we had a judge and someone was guilty and said, well, I'm going to clear him. I'm going to justify him anyway. We'd throw that judge out. He's an unjust judge. God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. In Christ, I'm not guilty. You see, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before there was a sinner, there was the Savior. And my standing before God has always been in Christ, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, the gospel is called in Revelation 14:6, the everlasting gospel. It's as old as God. It never had a beginning. It'll never have an ending. Hebrews 4:3 says all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Before time, before there was a star to shine, before there was an earth, before there was matter, all the works were finished in the eternal mind of God from the foundation of the world. We read in Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us, talking about the elect. He didn't choose everybody, he chose the elect. According as he hath chosen us in him. There's our standing, in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, of the blood of the everlasting covenant, a covenant God made that never had a beginning and will never have an ending. David put it this way in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5, these were his last words, these were his dying words, these be the dying words of David, the last words of David. He said in 2 Samuel 23, 5, although my house be not so with God. Now his house was a mess. His children were a mess. His family was a mess. And I have no doubt that quite often when the Bible talks about the house, it's talking about this house, my house, the body I live in, the sinful body I live in. Though my house Be not so with God. Yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant, one that never had a beginning and will never have an ending, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation and all my desire, though he make it not to grow. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, we read of eternal salvation. Now, this is the only thing that can't be shaken, that which is eternal. Anything that happens in time, that can be shaken. Only that which is eternal cannot be shaken. We read in Hebrews 9 or 6, 2 of eternal judgment. We read in Hebrews 9, 12 of eternal redemption. We read in Hebrews 9, 15 of an eternal inheritance. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 of eternal comfort, eternal consolation, a comfort that never had a beginning. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, 18 of an eternal weight of glory, which every believer possesses right now as they're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, all that cannot be shaken and that will remain is what he has eternally done. Anything else can be shaken and exposed as rotten and sinful. Now, it is the desire of every believer to live a life that glorifies God and honors him. Every believer feels that way. But let's think of that statement. There's only one life to live. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. No, my dear friend, that's not so. Only one life to live, 'twill soon be passed. Only what Christ has done shall last. The only thing that cannot be shaken is what Jesus Christ the Lord did when he, as my surety, took full responsibility for my salvation, when he kept the law for me, when he died for me and put away my sins, and when he was raised from the dead for me, he was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. Only what he has done shall last, and he will have all the glory in salvation. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.